Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord, glory to God. My goodness, what a big old case there. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Glad to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Is it nice to be protected by Psalms 91? Yes, it's nice to be protected. So I want you to notice our new sign that Bill gave me. You know, we are protected by the God of Psalms 91. That's the building, that's the congregation, that's all of us. But now, if you don't have one of these Psalms 91 cards, I want you to get you one. We got some of those right there. Let me have one. Thank you, sir. What I want you to do, how would you like to not have any problems? You know, I mean, not have any problems that hurt you. Because Candace just told me over here a while ago, she's a Psalm 91 believer. She said that this week, you know how the wind's been blowing so hard? She was in a parking lot somewhere or something, got out to go shop or whatever she was going to do, and when she came back, opened the car door, and of course the wind, you know, whoosh, and it blowed the car door on her hand. So, again, I mean, she don't panic. I mean, she just looks up and says, thank you, Lord, for Psalms 91.
Yes.
And she claims Psalm 91 with no bruises or nothing, and guess what happened? No bruises or nothing. Now, is it nice to have Psalm 91?
Yes.
It's nice to know it.
Yes.
You got to know it. So if you don't have one of these little cards that's got the Psalm 91 on it, I'd like for you to make sure today, in fact, why don't you get a few of those and let's just go down the aisle here. And yeah, anybody that does not have one of these, if you don't have one of these for you and for your spouse and for your kids, you know, have 3, 4, 5, whatever you want. But I'd like for you to, that you got to use these things. You know, you can't throw them in your dash and forget them. You got to read them. However many you want, we'll give them to you. You know, but you need to make sure that you're reading this over you and over your spouse, over your children. You know, and if you got kids, give them one to each one. If the kids are driving age, give them one of these too. In fact, you ought to give them 2 or 3. Oh, Lord, they need all the protection they can get. I didn't realize how dangerous I was when I was 18. Thank God that I had a praying mother and dad. Boy, I didn't know how dangerous I was. You know, we don't have any idea, you know, really. So, but anyway, take one of these cards. If you don't have one, get you one, and they'll give you one. And please, don't just throw it up on the dash of your car and forget it. You know, put it on the sun visor or something in your car, and every time when you get in it to go somewhere, reach up and take it down and read through those scriptures, at least the first time in the morning. And it probably wouldn't hurt anything, really, if you were diligent. You know, God told us to do things diligently. So maybe when you get up in the morning and you start to work, if you would go out and sit down in your car or at the breakfast table or something, read this thing and then take it and put it overhead in your car. And when you get to work, just before you get out of the car to go to your office or to your workplace or whatever you do, maybe you stop and you take that thing down and say, Lord, I'm going to read this for protection over me and all the people where I'm going to be today.
Yes.
Because, see, just remember, when I was a sky chef, when I was the engineer out there, I didn't even read Psalms 91, but I prayed protection over all of my men that worked for me, 35 men there in that plant, or in those 3 plants that worked for me. I prayed for those guys. I'd meet every morning with them, and I'd pray a prayer of protection for them, you know, that they wouldn't get hurt and that God would give them knowledge and wisdom to do what they needed to do. And after about 3 years, the corporate headquarters come to see me, and they wanted to know what kind of plan I was using because I had no injuries in my department. I said, well, I guess I really hadn't even thought about it. I just pray. They said, you do what? I said, I pray. How do you pray? I said, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to protect my men, watch over them, protect them, and bless this company in Jesus' name. They said, you know, you can't do that. That's offensive. You can't do that. I thought to myself, what do you mean I can't do this? And so, you know, they tell you, you can't. You promise us you won't do that no more? And I said, well, I ain't going to be a liar. No, I ain't going to tell you I ain't going to do this, because when you walk out that door, I'm going to ask God to give you some revelation and wisdom, because obviously you ain't got any.
Right.
I mean, you know, but isn't it amazing? It is amazing. You know, that when you pray, when you pray and stand on God's word, he always shows up. But he sent his word. So what do we have? His word. So when we take his word and we stand on his word, I believe that the more times you will read this Psalm 91 in the course of a day, in other words, when you go to work, you know, like I didn't even pray. Like I say, I just prayed over the guys for protection. But if you take his word and actually read his word in the morning, you read it at noon, or whenever you're out there in your car, or if you take it in your purse or in your billfold or put it in your shirt pocket, whatever, and wherever you are at noon, you sit down to eat. Well, don't just pray a simple little prayer. Sit down and read Psalm 91 over your meal. It couldn't hurt it. You know, I mean, I think about how the word works. One time me and four engineers, we went to Mexico to inspect a bunch of buildings that our company was going to buy. And when we got down there that night, when we went to the restaurant to eat, they ordered something, and, you know, they bring just bowls. You know, you got bowls of beans and bowls of this and bowls of so-and-so, salad or whatever. And when they put it on the table, I said, guys, let's pray over this food. They said, Arthur, well, you don't need to pray over the food. And I said, oh, yeah, especially in Mexico. You know, you mean the water and everything. You know, you want, I mean, our bodies are not used to what's down here. So I said, let's pray. Oh, no, we don't need to pray. I said, well, I'm going to pray. You guys can go ahead and eat whatever you go ahead and pick out. But I'm going. So I prayed a simple little prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this food. Bless it to my body. Put everything in it I need and take everything out of it I don't need. And, Lord, thank you for the food in Jesus' name. Ha, 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 ha. You think that's going to help? I said, of course it is. I serve a God that's alive, guys. Okay, so we all pick out. You know, we eat all the stuff we want and everything. And the next morning at 7 o'clock, we're supposed to meet downstairs, and I'm down there about 6:30, 6:45, and I'm waiting for the guys, and 7 o'clock comes, and nobody shows up. And finally, I say, what, 7:15, 7:30? I said, hell, hold it. So I go over to the phone, and I start calling each room. I said, where are you? We're supposed to leave here. Go inspect these buildings. Oh, Thurman, I got dysentery. I'm so sick, I can't get out of bed. Every one of those guys, four of them, was sick. And guess who wasn't sick?
Yeah.
Me. And what did I do different?
I prayed.
And my God, and I didn't even have Psalm 91. I just prayed. If God will honor my prayer of just faith like that, what will he do, Tony? We'll use Psalm 91. That's real stuff, right? So anyway, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just really, in fact, I tell you what I believe. I'm going to make a statement today. I believe with all of our heart, if every Sunday, at least every Sunday, somebody, and today I'm going to ask Bill to read this, but if somebody will read Psalm 91, I'll call on somebody every Sunday. I believe if we will pray Psalm 91, and I believe if this mother we'll pray over this girl with Psalm 91 every day, and we do it at least once a week, I believe it won't be long till this girl will be walking. I mean, our God can easily do that, can he? Absolutely. Paula knows that. This young lady knows that. I believe that we take Psalm 91 and we do something. I want you to get Psalm 91 memorized. But today I'm going to ask Bill to come up and read Psalms 91. Where's the mic? You got it? Okay.
No,
what, honey?
It's not her mother.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
She's old enough to read it for herself.
Oh, okay.
You can read it yourself every day, can't you?
Okay.
this is church, but I'm going to put my hat on here for a minute.
Okay, praise the Lord.
I had two or three people lately, more than one time, tell me, I like your hat, I like your hat. And I said, thank you. And then depending on the person, I just pull out one of these, you know, and say, here, let me give you this card. We don't ever know whose life we can touch, right?
Amen.
The word goes forth, and it will not return void.
Amen.
And it will purpose that thereto I sent it for. That's Isaiah 55:11.
Amen.
Now, the good news is that, do any of you remember old J. Vernon McGee? Used to be on the radio.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, I always kind of liked him on the radio, but he made a statement about Psalm 91 that I want all of you to remember. A couple of days ago, we had a real storm coming our direction. Guess what? That storm didn't hurt us over here in Dallas. Praise God. We prayed. Betty and I always pray over a storm coming, and I know you do.
Amen.
Pastor Thurman. But J. Vernon McGee said, if you don't know all of Psalm 91, you can pick out the verse in it that fits your situation. And if you look at the verse number 10, it says, then no harm will befall you, no disaster, like the wind, the tornado, the rain, the hail, will come near your tent or your house. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Well, those are just two of the verses that I'm going to read, but I wanted to tell you, you can be specific with God.
Amen.
About what you need your protection for. And we do, Betty and I, when we get in our car, before we ever leave our driveway, every time, no matter what it is, or I pray with her in the house if she's leaving, if she does with me, we always pray before we get in our car and go down that wonderful highway we've got out there with hardly no problems at all. And but you know, you might have a problem if you didn't pray. I don't
Amen.
Know. Anyway, let me take the pleasure of reading Psalm 91, God's Prayer of Protection. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, for even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands as that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, and that's all of us, because we love him.
Amen.
I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then at the bottom it says, war is won in prayer. The weapons are the word of God.
Amen. Amen.
And we know that in Luke 8:11, thank you, Betty, 8:11, it says, the word of God is a seed. And we're planting these seeds into the thousands of hands right now through this church and this church's help. We've already got out over 18,000 cards. And to tie back to this little sign right here that we have on the pulpit, a friend of mine in Topeka, Kansas told me a couple of days ago, he said, Bill, I told them about the story of the church that had stopped praying Psalms 91 and how people started getting sick, and they started back again, and the people got well. And he said, now we've got a couple of churches up here in Topeka that are doing that very thing every Sunday.
Amen.
Just another extension of this card that you're helping make possible.
Amen.
And again, I want to tell you, when we all get to heaven, we're going to find out that we're all going to be appreciative of the fact that we did this, because God's going to, I'm sure he's going to let us know we touched a lot of lives.
Amen.
That's what
we're going to
do. He protected a lot of people through his prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, Bill.
Yeah.
Glory.
I have a small testimony.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Cheryl's got a little testimony she wants to share.
Okay. Last week we had a young girl here that was 14 and had not spoken, okay? And there was a lot of fear on her. Anyway, we prayed with her. And after we prayed with her, she had pointed at my finger and my ring, and she liked my ring. I said, "You want a ring?" She said, "Yes." You know, she didn't say yes. She shook her head yes. So I went back to my jewelry box, and I found a ring that my daughter Chrissy had given me that was a little blue cross ring that had rhinestones. And then I had this ring that it was a silver ring that I had actually found someplace, but I had had it for 30 years. And so I just, for some reason, the Lord told me to get that too. So I come out here and I give her the two rings. Well, she does the sign language thing to me. And I said, "Oh, no, 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 no. You have to say thank you." And she said it a little bit. And I said, "No, you need to say it clearer." And so she said, "Thank you." So she did speak last week. Okay. All right. Well, so I didn't understand any of that until I was sitting here right now and the Lord just showed me. Because I thought, this was really weird. We went to Baltimore, and the pastor's wife gives me a gold ring, okay, a 14-karat gold ring from Italy. And she said, "You know, I asked the Lord, who am I supposed to get?" He told her to buy it. She said, "Who am I supposed to give it to?" And he told her, "Cheryl." I was like, "Okay, well, thank you very much." And then we have a girl that comes up in one of the lines, and prayer lines, and she had on this really cool a ring that she said, I said, "Oh, what a cool ring." She said, "My aunt from Cuba sent it to me." So it was from Cuba. I said, "Well, gosh, what's that made out of?" And she took it off and showed it to me, and it was from a cow bone that they had hollowed out and made the ring, and it was really cool and ornate, and I will wear it next week. Anyway, she gives it to, we pray on her, and then she turns around and hands me the ring. I got two rings because I gave two rings away.
Amen, amen. Now I'm going to tell you another little testimony, kind of on Cheryl. Yesterday afternoon, we were about 7 o'clock. We arrived from Baltimore.
Oh yeah.
And about 45 minutes out, we had a pretty decent flight, you know, the whole thing until the last 45 minutes. And all of a sudden, we began to run into a few little thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And they began to get rough. And they began to get rougher. And I started praying. So we pray, go along there for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, Cheryl says, "Honey, you need to pray." I said, "I am praying. I have been praying for several minutes." But then whenever the steward that was up there in the front, a guy, when he says, "We have got to sit down and get in our seats and put our straps in, because the weather is so bad, it's not even safe for us to be up walking around." And he said, after about that time, we had a whoop, and the airplane turned sideways. I mean, it was we went up at least 80 degrees, like this, you know. That ain't the way a jet's supposed to be. They're supposed to be like this. But anyway, the next word after we settled down, he said, "If you need a sick bag, there..." "They're in the seat package in front of you." I thought, that is the first, and I have flown all over this world, and that is the first and only time I've ever heard a hostess or whatever tell you there's a sick bag in the back seat in front of you. But like Cheryl said, when we did finally get on the ground, she said that was the roughest ride I have ever had in my life. But the thing about it is, here's the thing about praying. I was praying. I was cool. I knew that Jesus was in charge. When I started praying, I know who the boss is. And I know his word works. And I know it never returns to you void. So I didn't care how rough it got, how much we stood up on side, or whatever we did. I just kept praying. And I kept thanking the Lord and praising him. And I know some people say, you know, if you pray more than once, you prayed too many times. But that's not what the Scripture teaches. The Scripture teaches to stay with it. And so I continued to stay with it. And for 20 minutes, and I almost got to the point, I thought about it, but I thought, no, I'm not doing this at all. I thought, this is not working. I might as well just quit. Now then, where do you think that comes from? Do you think that might be the enemy trying to say you ain't no use in you praying, just you might give up? But I said, no, just what Bill said, the Word of God never returns to us void. So if we stay on his Word, it can't fail. I don't know what he's doing, but for 20 minutes I prayed. I mean, for 20 minutes, and of course, like Cheryl said, in that 20 minutes, that is the roughest ride I have ever had in an airplane in my life. But after 20 minutes of praying, all of a sudden, we flew out, and it was just as smooth as it is in this room right now. And the next 15 minutes until we landed and got on the ground with some really choppy winds everywhere, that airplane never moved. It just is smooth, and we come in with a good landing and everything, and the last 15 minutes was just glassy smooth. So you don't never give up, do you? Never. If we don't give up, if we learn to pray and not give up, just like the Lord says, I know what you have need of even before you ask. But ask, you know, and keep on asking. And that's why I say, when you ask one time, you don't quit. You stay with it. You ask the Lord to, whatever you want. I mean, he's the one that told us to stay with it, right? It's not me. I'm just repeating what the Master said, you know. I have no authority here. It's him. But if I quote what he says, and if you do what he says, he's going to bless you. You know, he's going to heal you. He's going to do everything. So we had a good time at Baltimore. The first night, I think we had 212 people at the meeting, and then the next night it was 198, and then the next one was 158. So we had a good meeting. We got to see some wonderful things. We got to see some people that got healed. We got to talk to people that was healed from times when we'd been there before. All kinds of wonderful things to see God do the wonderful things that only he can do. The what, honey?
We had that huge deliverance of that 18-year-old boy that broke down and fell on the ground. You don't remember that?
The one I really remember. We got the 18-year-old boy that we got delivered that went down on the floor and all that stuff, and that was an okay deal, but it's not anything spectacular.
He didn't love himself.
Yeah, and so, but the one that was really spectacular was, how old is he? Four.
Four. Four, and he's being kicked out of school.
Yeah, a kid 4 years old. And we were 80 or 90% through. It was midnight. Yeah, and we prayed till 1 o'clock in the morning the first night. We always prayed till around midnight to try to get everybody prayed for. But anyway, we were diligent. We stayed with it, and they brought this little 4-year-old boy up, and I'm sitting down in a chair like one of these, like I sit in here when I pray. And I reached down to take the little boy's hands, and he grabbed me, and when he grabbed me, I mean, I realized that he was fixing to manifest big time. A 4-year-old kid went wild. I mean, I leaned down like this, and all of a sudden, when I grabbed his hands, almost before I could get out of the way, he tried to kick me right in the face. His little legs were limber, and they went up, and he just almost hit me in the face. And I had to grab his hands. As I grabbed his hands, he started biting me. You know, I mean, he had little sharp teeth, and he was biting, and he was, I mean, you know, you never know what you're going to encounter, you know, when you encounter, but a 4-year-old, you know, you really don't usually expect that, but, I mean, he was wild. And as Cheryl, she tried to get a hold of him. Before it was over, I had a couple extra pastors up there. I had all kinds of people that was trying to hold this kid down, and he was a handful for all of us. And I'm commanding the spirits to leave him. Paul, the senior pastor of that church, he's commanding the spirits to leave him, and he ain't obeying nothing. I finally said, "Hold it, guys." I said, "I said, are you the parent?" She said, "No." I said, "Are you a relative?" She says, "No." I said, "Well, what are you doing here?" She said, "Well, I knew the kid needed help, so I just brought him." And I said, "Well, where is the mother and daddy?" Well, they live in Detroit, or Washington, D.C., and said, "There's no telling what they're doing tonight, but said, they're definitely are not walking with God." And I said, "Well, you can forget this boy." I said, "This boy is like he is because of his parents' sins of wickedness." And I said, "He's not going to be healed. He's not going to be delivered." I said, "Here we're infringing on the devil's territory. The devil has legal right to this kid because he belongs to him. And if he belongs to him, guess what? You ain't going to get him out. You're not going to get him out. You need somebody to repent of sin." And there wasn't nobody to repent of sin. But you know, it's amazing the number of people that we had there that was there before, or a couple of years before, or whatever, that had children, that the children that we prayed over them, that they repented and the children repented, and these kids have been completely, totally well and normal now for anywhere from a few months to 6 months to some of them 2 or 3 years. The child has been totally normal. God always heals if people are looking for healing. If you come to God humbling yourself, "Lord, I need help." If you humble yourself before the Master, he never turns down somebody that's serious. Is that right? He's an awesome, awesome, wonderful God. But we had quite an experience there. And then, like I said, had a really lovely airplane ride home. So, you know, the worst ride Gerald's ever had. Wasn't the worst one I've ever had, but I've been in some pretty rough ones. But that one, I did pray, and I prayed for 20 minutes, and I did not give up, and it paid good dividends because the last 15 minutes was just as slick as it is right here in this room right now. So don't give up. If you have a prayer need, don't give up. Okay, let's go to the scripture. The God of this world, wow, he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." With long life. You know, when you really stop and meditate on this psalm, just like Bill said, you can take a part of it. In fact, I heard a man the other day, that's verse 10. Would you please put verse 10 on the screen for me one more time of Psalm 91:10? "There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling." Now then, if you stop and meditate on that verse for a second, if you quote this verse to the Lord and you realize what you're reading, "Lord, there shall no evil befall me." In other words, if I'm doing what he said in the beginning of Psalms 91, I'm walking in obedience to his word, I'm dwelling with him in the secret place, I'm loving him, I'm praising him, I'm thanking him for being my God, then if I'm doing what Psalms 91 verse 1 and 2 says, that's what makes all the rest of these verses work. If you're not doing what the first two verses say, if you're not dwelling in the secret place with the Most High God, you know, and you're saying of the Lord, "He is my refuge, he's my strength, he's my God, in him do I trust." That's what makes this psalm work. You've got to have that. So, and if you're doing that, then these are the things that you can claim from that. If I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and I'm saying that he is my Lord, he's my God, he's my Savior, in him do I trust, then there shall no evil befall me. No evil. That means the devil, he will not be able to get through to you. No evil. Isn't that amazing that God makes you a promise that if you're dwelling in the secret place with the Most High, you're dwelling with God, you're saying of the Lord, "He is my refuge, he's my strength, he's my God, in him do I trust." No evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague, that's sickness and disease. No sickness and disease shall come to your house. Then technically speaking, as sons and daughters of God, if we would learn to dwell in a secret place and say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my strength, then how often should we be sick? He says, if you do that, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. In other words, this is your dwelling place. This is where you live in this body that God gave you. He gave you a body to live in. And if you're dwelling with Him, loving Him, serving Him, saying He's your refuge and strength, you know evil. The devil will not be able to get through to you under no conditions. And no plague of any kind will be able to attach itself to you. You will never be sick. The average person in America, because of TV, we have been trained to be prepared to take a pill you find on the screen. I mean, you know, take one of these, it'll give you 12 hours results here. Instead of 4 hours, it'll give you 12. I mean, you all know what I'm talking about? If you can't turn a TV on, you don't see that kind of stuff. It's everywhere. So, when I first started telling people in the Baptist church that I have received Jesus Christ as my personal healer. See, there's a whole lot of things you can receive Jesus as your healer besides Psalm 91. God didn't just put one thing in here. He put a bunch of stuff in here. But when I started telling people what the Word says in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, that I'm not going to be sick anymore, they laughed at me. They said, Thurman, everybody's going to be sick. Why in the world would we make a statement like that, Mike, that everybody's going to be sick? Why would we do that? Well, that's right. We don't have a clue what the Word says, and we know that in our life, if you didn't have the Word, didn't know the Word, you know, every once in a while, the devil comes by your house, and you have a little, and I'll tell you how it used to work with me. Whenever I'd come by and a snotty nose would come up on me or something, I'd say, well, wow, so I'd blow my nose and everything. I'd say, well, you know, let's see what time of the year it is. Oh, yeah, it's either spring, you know, it's cool, or it's fall. And like this morning, you know, it was nice spring, nice cool day this morning. And you jump up and walk outside, you know, with your short sleeve shirt on, you think, hey, I need a shirt on out here. It's cold out here. And then a little bit later, if you don't know Psalm 91 or none of these things, you start sniffing a little bit, and then here's what you'll say. Oh, my gosh, I went outside with that cold air. I guess I'm fixing to come down with the flu. Do you ever hear anybody talk like that? And, of course, the next day or two, you see them, or somebody comes by to see you, and you're blowing your nose, and they say, well, yeah, I see you caught the flu. You shouldn't have been out in the cold weather. We are trained to be sick. Everybody is trained to be sick. We are not trained to fight against sickness and disease. You know, realize you don't have to go to the doctor. You can get well without a doctor. And if you know, the thing about it is, we were talking about Don Colbert when we were up there this time. He's going to be at Paul's church here in a few weeks. I didn't know that he'd built him an office, or he rented an office, I guess I should say, here in the Metroplex. He's some kind of a special doctor. He doesn't use the medicine and stuff that the world uses. He uses whatever. Supplements. Yeah, supplements or whatever. But he helps lots of people. You know, he helps lots of people. So anyway, I didn't know he's had an office here, but he does have. But the Lord is saying right here in Psalm 91 that if we will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I think that's what, I had a man one day, I made a statement, I said, if you want Psalm 91 to work for you, you must meet the requirements of verse 1. You must meet the requirements of verse 1. What does verse 1 say? Let's put this up, put verse 1 up there for me right quick. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place. This guy asked me, said, what in the world is the secret place? I said, well, the secret place is in your prayer closet. I said, when you go into your prayer closet, he said, you know, back in those days, they didn't have all these closets and everything. How would this work for them? I said, they had the tallit, and they would take that little folded up thing, that prayer shawl, and they would unfold that thing with all the little knots and strings and all the stuff that it had on it, and they would throw that over their head, and they would get on their knees, and they would pull this thing up, and that was the symbol. As they pulled the tallit up over your head and close it, you're in your prayer closet. So you're at that point when you're praying in that, you're in the secret place of the Most High God. I said, you know, you don't have to have that to make this work. I said, you can just go into a room, you know, you can go into a real closet if you want to in your house, and you open the door and go in and get on your knees, and you're in there, start reading and quoting this word. You're in the secret place with the Most High God. Is he in that closet with you?
Yes.
Guarantee he's in that closet with you. You get in there, and I remember a man. I didn't know this man personally, but he lived during my lifetime. But he was a pastor of a church, and there was no power in his church. He never saw an answer to prayer, no healings, no miracles, no nothing. And so he got tired of it. He got tired of preaching the promises of God and nothing happening in his church. So he finally decided, okay, God, I'm going to find out. You told me to ask you, and you'll show me. So he went into his prayer closet, a little closet there off the kitchen in his house, and he pulled the door shut, and he got in there, and he prayed. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. All day he prayed. He never heard nothing from God. So he came out and had supper with his wife that night, and then the next day he said, you know, I'm going to fast and pray. The Word of God says fast and pray. I've never done that. So he began to fast and pray. Over the next few days, he fasted and he prayed and he fasted and he prayed, and I don't know how many days he was in there, but he said, all of a sudden my wife was cooking some stew of some kind, and he says, when I smelt that stew, I said, man, I got to have some of that. And he said, knocked on the door, and said, honey, let me out. I got to have some of that soup. I can't stand it. It's killing me. So she said, well, you told me not to let you out unless you heard from God. She said, have you heard from God? And he said, well, no, but I got to have something to eat. So anyway, he came out. She fixed him a bowl of soup. She put it there on the table. Put him a bowl of soup, and he put his spoon down in that and reached up and stuck that in his mouth. And just as he got in his mouth, the Lord says, is that soup worth more to you than hearing from me? He said, Lord, I am so sorry. He spit that out. He put it back in the bowl. He said, I will absolutely not eat anything. I've now heard you speak to me. I know you're going to talk. So he said, Lord, I'm going to get back in that prayer closet, and I'm going to stay in there and seek you until you tell me why there's no power in my church. So he went in there and he started praying. And he said, I have no idea how long I stayed in there, maybe a day or two or three. I don't know. But he said, I was in there for a while. He said, all of a sudden, I saw a bright light, brighter than the sun, come in that little room I was in. He said, I thought my wife had opened the door in a bright sunlight, but he said the door was closed. He said, all of a sudden I heard the Lord saying, son, you wanted to know why there's no power in your church? I'm fixing to tell you. So he started telling him, said, this is one of the things that's wrong. He went down a list, and there was 13 things God gave him, the reason there was no power in his church. After giving him 13 things, he said, Lord, I can't remember all of them. He said, Lord, will you go over them again real slow? And he said, Lord, I got to have a pen and something to write with. He said, he looked down, he was kneeling over a cardboard box, and there was a little short pencil laying there on the floor. He said, I got that little pencil in that box, and I said, okay, Lord, give them to me again slowly, and I'll write them down. He said, the Lord told me one more time the 13 things that I had to change if I wanted to see him do some work in my life. And so he said, when I came out of there, when the light went out, when it got normal, he said, I came out and told my wife, said, honey, I have heard from God, and this is what I've got to do. And he said, it took him like 2 or 3 years to master that list. But when he finally mastered that list, and he said, some of those things, it was so hard to do. But he said, I'm going to do it because God told me to do it. And after two or three years, he said, the Lord spoke to me one day and said, Today you have accomplished what you've been striving for the last few years. You've mastered the last event. So he said, now behold, son, I give unto you power. And from that day forth, that man, when he would go and pray, you would see people in places. I know down in Alabama, one time he had a meeting down there, and there was 4,000 people come to that meeting. Because people, when he was there, people with blind eyes, they saw, deaf ears, they heard. I heard, in fact, in that meeting, one of the pastors that was at that meeting told me himself one day that he said, when I was in that meeting, he says, when we were praying for the sick, he said, we had a woman up here that couldn't hear, and they brought her up and says, it was A.A. Allen's who the guy was. Said when A.A. Allen went down to pray for the guy, the lady, said he went down there and laid his hands on her and commanded her ears to be opened, and said when he did, immediately she said, oh my goodness, I can hear. But he said about 2 or 3 rows back, there was another lady that started screaming, I just lost my hearing, I can't hear anything. And so he walked back there and broke that. As the devil had moved from this one to that one, then when he kicked the devil out of the last one, there was a lady on the very back row, 4,000 people. And he kicked this devil out of her, that devil went right back there and went into that woman. He had to go back there and deliver her. Right there is where I learned is that praying for people in a meeting, if people got sin in their life, the devil will transfer from one person to the other one. Anywhere there's an open door, you got to be careful. That's why I tell people, be careful. If you're not authorized to pray for somebody in this place, don't let somebody pray for you. You know, if I authorize it, it's okay. But if I don't authorize it, it's not okay. Be careful, because demons, they know who's legal right, who's have legal right too. And this 13-year-old girl that was being delivered, a little 13-year-old girl, there was one pastor and his wife, and there was 2 or 3 doctors. They were in an institution, and so they had real doctors and all kinds of stuff there. But this little girl's hair was all knotty, and everything was awful to see this. But as they were being prayed for, this little girl, they prayed for her for 2 or 3 days with just very little results. And then finally they began to get bolder and bolder and remit sins and all kinds of stuff, and so they started having better and better luck. And this little girl was sitting there, and I remember the first demon that man told me that they got out of this little girl, said when they cast that one spirit out and it left, said her hair was just knotty. And said when that demon left, her little hair became silky and smooth. The demon was doing that with her hair. So, you know, if you had no experience with demons, you know, it's amazing how they can deceive you. But the thing that really brought it home to me was when this gentleman that was there, when he told me, he said, we've been casting out these demons all day and had very little result. And he said, finally, that senior pastor, he said, you know, I've got to take a break. I've got to stop and get a drink of water or something. So there was another pastor of another church there, and he said, well, this is real easy. I'll just do it while you're gone. So he started commanding, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus and everything. And so he got a little rougher, nothing was happening. He got a little rougher, and all of a sudden that little 13-year-old girl just turned her head up and looked him right in the eye and said, I don't have to obey you. You're sleeping with your secretary, your church secretary. Now then, would that be kind of shameful? You know, here you are, a pastor, you're trying to cast out a demon, and the demon and the little girl looks at you and says, I don't have to obey you, you're sleeping with your church secretary. I thought, what a rotten deal. But if there's anything that I have learned in the church, that's running rampant, it's sex out of wedlock. This just blows me away, the number of people, you know, that are sleeping with somebody or having sex with somebody they're not married to. And I'm talking about inside the church. I mean, if they were outside the church, I'm like Paul, you know, if these people are outside the church out there and they're doing all that stuff, then I don't have a problem with that. He said, you know, you can't, if you get rid of those kind of people, you have to leave this earth because they're just going to do it. But he said, in the church is not supposed to have sexual immorality in the church. There's not supposed to be that kind of stuff. So, but anyway, but if you want to make Psalm 91 really work for you, you got to remember these first two verses, and they're right here. We got them up here right now. And one more time, we're going to go over those. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's what you have to do if you want it to work. And then verse 2, what does verse 2 say? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. In my God, in Him will I trust. I will say of the Lord. See, this is what He wants you to do. Say. You know, I was thinking a while ago when Candace was telling us about how she, the door slammed on her hand and how she stood on Psalm 91 because she knows Psalm 91. We're talking about Psalm 91. And I can be feel assured that if we will read and talk a little bit about Psalm 91 every Sunday, you know, if we'll talk about it, any time that you come up on a need or something, that'll be the first thing that'll pop into your mind is Psalm 91. I need to stand on Psalm 91. Well, Candace, she knew Psalm 91. She stood on it, and immediately she cried out, you know, there will be no plague or no bruises or anything on my hand. The car doors, the wind blowing, that high wind slammed the door on her hand. You know, technically speaking, she should have had bad bruises there. But she's standing on Psalm 91. And guess what she told me? No bruises. She had no bruises whatsoever. Praise the Lord. But you've got to be doing what this says. You've got to be talking about the Lord. I know her and her husband, the Cliff, they talk about the Lord all the time. You know, I mean, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to tell people about the Lord. You know, there's some people that are Christian people that never talk about Jesus to nobody else unless they're in church. They come to church, walk through the front door of the church, they can talk about Jesus a little. They walk out that door, then, I mean, zip. Don't talk about Jesus. No, we only do that at church. Well, Psalm 91 ain't going to work for you. You know, it's not going to work for you. You're going to say, well, now Psalm 91 says I'm protected. Yeah, it does if you do the first two verses. You got to do those two verses. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. In Him will I trust. So when somebody tries to get you to say, you know, you can't talk about Jesus, you got to say, hey, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm going to talk about Jesus. You know, this ain't no two ways about it. There ain't nobody can stop me from talking about Jesus. And if you do what he says there, it doesn't make any difference what kind of evil or wickedness or anything else that the devil tries to throw at you, it cannot override you. He says that you shall see 1,000 fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your side, and it won't come near you. Now, do you think God could really make that come to pass? I think He could make that come to pass. I think there could be 10,000 people dying all around us. There could be a nuclear bomb go off anywhere. And if you're saying what you're saying, we would walk through that thing and the dust of it, and it wouldn't even affect us. I mean, you know, we got to remember who we serve. Get out of that fear mode. Wow, that's what I say. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my God, in Him will I trust. Wow. He is absolutely my God. So if I'm willing to dwell in that secret place and I'm willing to say of the Lord, then all the rest of Psalm 91 will work for me. Verse 3, that's again verse 3 as well as verse 10, he said, surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In other words, the devil, if you are saying of the Lord and living with God, he clearly says right there, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. The devil is going to do everything he can. If he has legal right to make you sick, he's going to try his best to get you, but he will not be able to do it because the Lord is there to protect you. So you don't have to be afraid of nothing, right? Well, so I'm going to believe that as we read Psalms 91, and we stand on Psalms 91, and every one of us, I'm going to try to get in a habit starting this next week, I'm going to take one of these cards, and whenever I walk through the ministry center out there, I'm going to hand that card to somebody and say, read those 16 verses to me. And then who knows at what time of the day or whatever, I may come back through an hour or 2 hours or 4 hours later and I hand it to somebody else and say, read this psalm to me. Let's read this. If we're dwelling in a secret place, we're spending time with God, then this place should be the safest place in town, right?
Amen.
And if you're doing the same thing at your house will be the safest place in town.
Amen.
The devil, he cannot get through to you. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I want 1 Corinthians 13, and let's read that. Another thing that I want you to see that that's required of us to make all these promises work from the Lord. I mean, they just don't work for everybody. They work because you do what he says. So he's told us what to do. So 1 Corinthians 13, let's get to, yeah, I'm going to let Cheryl read that for me.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profits me nothing. Charity, love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity, love, envieth not. Charity, love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, love, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
Okay, I want us to go back to verse 7 there. Verse 7. And I want you...
Beareth all things.
I don't want us to read it just like it's too easy to miss it. When it says beareth all things, love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love endures all things, believeth all things, prophesy everything. What is it that makes this whole thing work?
Love.
I want us to go and look and see what the Master said. In other words, this is where we're supposed to live, in love. But I want us to go back to see what the Master said in John 13:34. And I want you to see what he has to say about love in John 13:34. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you,
that you also
may love one another. Did he tell you to love somebody if they're good to you?
No.
You know, this is tough. It's easy to love somebody that just loves you. You know, if you got somebody that just, I mean, everything they do, they can't do enough good for you, they love you, they never make a cutting remark to you or nothing, they're just so easy to love that kind of people, right?
Right.
You know, but if you got somebody that's always cutting you down, making fun of you or saying something, it ain't quite so easy. I know that I've seen people that you can tell whenever you're approaching them that they got something they want to hurt you with, and you can see in their eyes, you know, whenever you're approaching them, you can see that the way they want to love you, and they're Christians, I'm talking about Christians, the way they want to love you is they want to grab you by the nape of the neck and pull you up and pound on you about four times, then they're going to say, yeah, I love you. That's not what they mean at all. But that's the way some people try to love you. But God obviously knew that we were going to be like that, didn't he? Now, everybody in this room, somewhere along the line, you've got out of your love walk. You know, you say things you shouldn't say, you do things to people you shouldn't do, and it's just amazing what we do as human beings. And it's a good thing that God is a gracious and merciful God. Because if he wasn't a God of grace and a God of mercy, way back there somewhere, whenever I got upset with somebody or said something I shouldn't have said, if he was really a short-lived, unmerciful, I guess I should say, if he was like that, man, he'd have killed me a long time ago. I mean, he would have hurt me. But we don't realize that when he gives us so much time. His patience is new every morning. What a patient and merciful and awesome and mighty God that would put up with a bunch of critters like you and me. But aren't we glad?
Yes.
And then he turns around and gives us this Psalm 91 said, if you'll just do what I say here and walk in love, you won't never have no evil come near your house. There won't never be no sickness come to your house. You and your children will be blessed, and there will be no sickness and be no harm, nothing. Nothing will hurt you. You slam the car door on you, I'll take the bruise away for you. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was over at the air conditioning place picking up a part for an air conditioner. And in fact, I was with Franz. Me and him was over there together. And there's a guy walked in over there, it was in Carrollton. There was a guy come in that used to go to my church, him and his wife, over in Dallas. Now, they don't come out here anymore because it's way far out here, so they don't come. But when he saw me in there, he come over and said, hey, Pastor, praise God, how you doing? I said, well, praise the Lord, brother, hadn't seen you in a long time. He said, you know, every time I think about you, I think about that wreck my wife had in her car. He said, you had taught us the principles. In fact, Mark 11:23, it was the scripture that we had been dwelling on. Mark 11:23 clearly says that whatever we say with our mouth, if we believe it with our heart, we can have it. Is that right?
Amen.
I've been teaching the people in the church about that psalm. I mean about that scripture. And he said, every time I think about you, I think about that scripture, Mark 11:23, that you taught us. He said, my wife was driving down the road. Of course, I knew the story. He said, my wife was driving down the road, and somebody swerved over, and she had to swerve to miss them. And when she did, she would run off the edge of the concrete deal there, and it was a real steep embankment, and her car rolled over upside down in that ditch and hit that down upside down, and glass went everywhere. I mean, a million pieces of glass just went everywhere. Her first statement as she's rolling over I will not be cut or bruised anywhere in Jesus' name. He said, now my wife bruises very easily. He said, I can go up there and just be playing with her and I can pinch her on a muscle or something. Tomorrow she'll have a bruise there. But he said, she claimed that Psalm, or claimed that Mark 11:23, that she'd have no bruises and no glass and no cuts. And he said, when the car stopped, it was completely upside down. There was glass everywhere. A police officer came up and crawled in the back of the car where the back glass was broke out and helped pull, because the doors, front doors, they couldn't get them out. It was in that ditch, so they couldn't open the doors. Had to get her out the back door. And he said that police officer pulled her out and said, when the time he got her out of there and got her standing up, he had cut places all over him. But she didn't have a single bruise or a single mark or a single cut place on her body nowhere. Now then, if you've got that scripture and you call on it, what will he do? He'll show up. In other words, if she had started saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to get hurt. Oh my goodness, I'm probably going to break an arm or a leg. Oh my goodness. But she would have done all those things. But she stood on God's word. Do you remember that couple, honey?
Dan.
I can't think of his wife's name, but his name was Dan.
Dan and Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah?
Sarah Eckhart. I think it was Eckhart. Dan
yeah.
and Sarah.
But that's just amazing how God's word works. You know, think of the experiences that we've had, all of us, where we've stood on his word and he done exactly what he said he would do. Just think, a police officer, a car rolls upside down and totally tears it. It breaks every glass in it, breaks the windshield out, breaks the back glass out, everything. And there ain't no way that she's going to get out except going by that back door. And it's amazing that she had one of those little SUVs or whatever there that had a back door. Otherwise, she would have really been in trouble. But by having all that, with that police officer to crawl down in there with her and to help pull her out over all that broken glass, what do you think the chances are that you get pulled out over that much broken glass and not get cut? It ain't going to happen. The only way it can happen is if God shows up. That's the only way. But he said, you know, my wife didn't have a bruise, just like Candace, when she said, I'm not going to have any bruises. Isn't that amazing what Psalms 91 are, the scriptures? You can use any number of scriptures. But just think, to make all that work, and you want it to work, right?
Yes.
Then that commandment, John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also may love one another. A new commandment. Love. Do you think it would be a good idea for us to start practicing how to walk in love? Just think. Think of the promises that's there if you'll do what God says. Walk in love. Wow. A new commandment. A new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Love, love, love. And when you learn to love, you go back over there to 1 Corinthians 13. Love does all kinds of strange things. Love remembers no wrongs. You know, it doesn't remember. Somebody does you wrong. You ever had anybody do you wrong? Of course you have. I guess I'll have to hold up both hands and both feet on that one. But you know, what do? If you're walking in love, you get rid of it. I try to tell anybody if I ever get offended for anything, I don't care who it is, what it is, whether it was me, my wife, or somebody else, or a friend or not a friend or whatever, that as soon as we try to get the problem resolved and I can tell them I forgive you and I love you, get rid of it, then what should you do? Should you talk about that? No, don't talk about it. Because if you talk about it, every time you talk about it, it builds fuel. It gets bigger. Don't talk about it. You know, if you forgive somebody, say forgive and forget. Wipe it out of your brain. You know, don't even meditate on it. Don't even think about it. Because if you're every time you see somebody and you tell that story about your mother, your daddy, or your aunt, your uncle, your whatever, you got raped by your brother when he was 10 years old or whatever, and every time you tell it, it's getting bigger. So forgive him and forget it. Wow. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Next verse. Also, read those for me, honey.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Now, wait a minute. Surely God made a mistake there. Do you? But we glory in tribulation. Are you kidding me? Oh, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I will have to say, when I finally got a hold of this verse many years ago, I quit praying for patience. I used to say, Lord, I need patience. Help me with patience. And something would happen, and something terrible would come upon me. And when I saw this, I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm my own worst enemy. I need to quit that. Oh, a tribulation worketh patience. I have all the patience I want, don't you? Anyway, he's gonna do this for you. Okay, the next verse, honey.
And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Praise the Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, let's stop just a second right there. Let's think about that and think about what he just said. You know, that to think that Jesus loved you and me so much that he paid the total price for our salvation, even while we were yet wicked sinners, Christ died for us so that we can have salvation, we can have healing, we can have blessings. I mean, so we can live a blessed life. If we only could get a hold of the fact of what really belongs to us as sons and daughters of God. You know, I'm going to tell you that, as I told the people in Baltimore the other night, or I told them, I said, you know, this book that we have and these promises that we have, and of course we in this church, most of us, if you come here regular for a while, you know many, many wonderful promises of God. And you know that all those promises are yes and amen. He never says no to his obedient children. So, you know, so if you are an obedient child, you're a son or daughter of God, and you're walking in obedience to his word. Mike, what can you ask him for, son? Now, that's an understatement if I ever heard it. You can ask for anything. Boy, when you get a hold of that, you could change the world, can't you, Mike?
Amen.
Just think, when God did all this for us and he said that all these promises are yes and amen, I told the church in Baltimore the other night as we went over several of these promises and everything, I said, I only have one thing to say. It must be that I have great unbelief. Otherwise, I should be walking on water. Do you know that Jesus said you can walk on water? He said you can speak to a mountain and it will move. It'll obey you. Did he not? So when's the last time you moved a mountain? Well, maybe that we don't have enough love. Maybe that's the problem. Because Paul says, if I had faith to move a mountain and I didn't have love, what's it going to profit me? Nothing. Not a thing. You're not going to get anything from God, probably not going to see anything happen, see any miracles, anything, until you learn to walk in love. When you learn to walk in love, and that's not going to be easy, you know, when you learn to walk in love and can stay in that love walk, then there's absolutely nothing impossible. Just like Mike said over there a while ago, he promised us we could ask for anything. And Mike, you've learned he means that, doesn't he? Yeah, he does, and he means that. But most of us, and I stood in awe at the people that had not had much teaching in this area, even in Baltimore, as they came down for prayer. You know, you can just see in their heart when they're there that they really don't believe God's going to do anything. Maybe he will. I hope he will. But do you really believe he will? Most of them don't. They don't believe, you know, that he will do what he said. And, of course, I like this one lady I had there. She said, you know, I came 6 months ago and I did what you said. I let you pray for me, and I've been trying my best to do what God says, but nothing's happened. What would you suggest that she do? Stay, get in there and learn how to walk in love, right? I mean, the promises are yes and amen. Either she hasn't looked for her sin, she hasn't been diligent enough, or whatever, because who knows, the next one that comes up right behind her says, you know, I came here and I called you on the telephone and I did what you said and I got healed over the telephone. It worked for me. So don't quit doing it. Like the lady the other night before we left. This lady, she really called me and reprimanded me seriously for some of the things I said. But anyway, she had a breast cancer, and she called, and Cheryl said, honey, you need to call this woman tonight. So I picked up the phone, I went in my office and picked up the phone, and I called her, and she had breast cancer, and I told her, I said, well, you've got an unforgiveness toward a female, and we've got to get rid of that, and so we did all that, and once we got that done, I said, now then, are you ready to be prayed for? Yes. Do you believe he's going to do it? Yes. I definitely believe he's going to do it. She said, God, you can't lie to me, and I know the promises. I said, okay. So I started praying for her, and I didn't realize she had her hand on the knot in her breast. And all of a sudden, this woman starts screaming over the phone. And I thought, what? I stopped praying. I said, what happened? She said, Pastor, that knot that was in my breast just went away. She said, it's gone. So, does God's word work? Yes, it works. If you walk in love and you obey God and do what he says, his word works, doesn't it? And just think of this wonderful thing he said there in Romans when he tells us what happened. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. Is there a better gift than that? No. And he did all that for you so you can do what you do. And you need to get rid of your unbelief and start walking in love. So when you pray that, and you're protected by Psalms 91, you go to church where we're protected with Psalms 91, everything that's there, and we stand on God's promises, and we see him do great and mighty things. He will do it. You know, so anyway, praise the Lord. Wow. Okay. I want us to go to Romans 6. I want to move over to Romans chapter 6, and I want to read just a little bit out of Romans 6 after we look at all these wonderful things that God said we can do. Read that Romans 6, honey.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?
Okay, now stop and think about this. You know, we're talking about all this wonderful grace and all the things God's done and how he gave you all this while you were yet a sinner and he made you holy and everything. And you'd think, wow, we don't have to do nothing. He gave me all this. Now then, is that what he's saying? No, and it says there, But what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?
No.
In other words, I'm lying to my brother over here. Should I keep lying to him?
No.
Absolutely not. Or if I'm sleeping around with somebody I ain't married to, should I quit that nonsense?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Look what he said there. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, let's see what the scripture says itself. The next verse.
God forbid.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Okay, now let me ask you a question. I know I've asked this question many times in this church, but how many of you today are still truly dead to sin? You know you're dead to sin. Okay, that should be every one of us. Every one of us should realize that as Christians, we are dead to sin. Is that right? God did this for us so that we don't have to be concerned. How shall we that are dead, you know, we are dead. We're not supposed to be able to sin. How should we live in sin or
live any longer?
Okay, read the next verse.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Okay, now stop and think about that. Have you been baptized?
Yes.
Okay, you've been baptized in water?
Yes.
Okay, if you're baptized, do you not know you not that as many of us were baptized into as Christ, we were baptized into his death? So when we went down in that water, in fact, I baptized Candace just here a while back. When I baptized you, you went down in that water, you died to sin right there, didn't you?
Yes.
Absolutely. And we, being dead to sin and staying dead to sin and living a life that she's supposed to live, whenever this car door slams, she can claim Psalms 91 and didn't even have a bruise. It's just wonderful what God has given to those of us. Were we all a sinner at one time?
Yes,
we were, and I hate to even talk about that. I hate to even think about that, but I was a wicked sinner, just like you was, and Christ died for me while I was yet a wicked sinner. And then he gave me all this stuff, and he gave it to me as a free gift. So all this stuff is mine now that I'm not supposed to sin no more. I'm supposed to be baptized into Jesus Christ and into his death. And so I'm not supposed to sin anymore as a son of God. Let's go to the next verse, and then I think we're going to quit here pretty quick. Read that, honey.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Okay, so if we should actually be an example of Jesus,
amen.
And we should walk just exactly like Jesus did. Okay, I'm gonna quit right there, and we're gonna pray for people. Anybody that needs to be prayed for, we got prayer teams. My prayer teams, if y'all will stand up, and Mike, you and Gracie, if you need to be prayed for, find one of these folks that are standing up, and me and Cheryl, we will pray for you, and then after that, you will be dismissed. So if you need any of the CDs or the DVDs, we got them all over the place. You can take as many as you want. They're free. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. And if everything's good and you don't have no problems, then we're going to close with the Word of God. And you can stand around and talk or whatever you want to do or go home. And then have a blessed week this week. And make sure you take a Psalm 91 card with you and read it once or twice or three times every day. Will y'all do that?
Yes.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And I thank you for dying on that cross for us while we were yet sinners, that you paid the price for us so that we can be dead to sin and live unto righteousness. And we can be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, show us and teach us how to walk in love with all people, so that we will be like you and do what you do, be just like you, so that we can get our prayers answered, Lord. We want to see people healed and delivered. And I thank you and praise you for blessing us all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen, amen. Praise the Lord.